Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Happy to have you this Saturday afternoon. Always a blast to be on board with you all. Co-host Joe, of course, doing the show today, as usual. But if you happen to like this show or like my voice, go to MainStreetRadioNetwork.com and you'll find more about this show. You'll find out about the Al and Nathan show up there. Sometimes I guest host them. And we really do want to thank the Main Street Radio Network because, well, without them, this show wouldn't have existed for its various forms over the last 10 years or so. And on top of that, they have our backs, really, because some of their clients, you know, some of the sources of money that keeps us afloat on the air, they disagree with the content, and even the management sometimes disagrees with the content, but they believe in the First Amendment, so they allow us to speak our piece. And we also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this show. So you can, speaking of this show, you can find us on social media. First, Main Street Radio Network, they have a Facebook page, sometimes we post there, sometimes Jane Silk, the titular Silk from the Silk or Joe show title, and we can occasionally post up there, like daily just about. But you can also find us on Getter, GETTR.com at Silk or Joe Show if you want to find out when I'm hosting the Al and Nathan show, or you want to find out just what the topics are for the show this week, assuming I remember to post them, because that is the account that I've been assigned, and well, I'm not very good at social media. Anyway, I'm going to rush right into and in through these introductions because we have a guest waiting in the wings, Craig Bannister. He is responsible for media relations, public relations, and marketing campaigns at CNS News. Craig Bannister, always happy to have you on. How are you today?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. A little bit of news update here. As you know, a lot of Republicans are up in arms, and a lot of Catholics as well, that Walter Reed has ousted this order of Catholic friars from its hospital. And now it looks like Walter Reed is qualifying their decision by saying that this this contract is still under review.
And just for listeners who aren't entirely familiar with the story, what happened was last week during one of the holiest weeks for Catholics, the Walter Reed Hospital, they just decided, you know what, we're not going to do any Catholic services here. You're all done. And the apparently some contractor was brought in that didn't do Catholic services at all.
Exactly. And now, now we've found out a little bit about this this contractor. It looks like it is a group called, what is it, MAC, I believe, that provides a lot of services other than religious services. Obviously, they can't provide the sacraments that an actual Catholic priest can, but apparently, according to Catholic News Agency, this this group that they have replaced the Catholic friars with, its main focus is providing government with industrial machinery, tactical gear, and janitorial services, supplies. So they do a lot of other things other than providing religious services.
Yeah, it's like they're trying to push at least Catholicism out of the hospital system, at least the veteran hospital system, because Walter Reed is a hospital for veterans and members of the military. So is this just part of a anti-Catholic bent that this administration has been on? And you know, I'm thinking actually the Democrats in general have been on. I remember watching senators when they were trying to confirm Amy Comey Barrett, some Democrat senators came out and said, well, because you're Catholic, we don't think that you can be an unbiased judge. So we don't, they actually said they don't think Catholics should serve as Supreme Court justices.
Exactly. And in addition to this, this organization, this MAC Global LLC that they're replacing the Catholic friars with, as you know, they've warned of the domestic terror threat of Catholics who still attend the Latin Mass and traditionalist Catholics. so there, there does seem to be some targeting there taking place. If you think that a particular traditionalist group of Catholics is a terror threat, and now the news reports have come out of how they've in the past Biden administration has been seeking Catholics and others to infiltrate Catholic churches to in essence spy on them and see if they can dig up any dirt that they can use to claim that these are domestic terrorists.
And Joe Biden himself allegedly is a devout Catholic. Nancy Pelosi, former Speaker of the House, allegedly a devout Catholic, yet they're the ones leading the persecution by the government against their what is allegedly their own religion. I guess they figure, what, they're immune to it somehow? And I don't really understand the reasoning either, because if a Catholic can't be a Supreme Court justice, certainly they can't be a congresswoman or a president.
Well, that's an excellent point. Now, both Biden and Pelosi are self-professed Catholics, but as you know, there have been bishops who've been willing to deny them communion, and or at least have been calling for that because of what is referred to technically as promoting scandal within the church. You have these public figures who are openly opposing and even seeking to pass legislation in direct opposition to church doctrine on issues such as abortion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly not a separation of church and state there. They are actively trying to do what they can to discriminate against the church and rid the society of the church and keep Catholics out of political positions. It's gross violations of First Amendment rights. And then outright refusing to provide Catholic services for patients at Walter Reed. Hey, gee whiz, what would happen if, what would the backlash be if they refused to provide Muslim services? They had the, what was it, the Eid, Ramadan, was it, recently? Going along the same as Passover, you know, for that matter. What would happen if they decided to not provide any Passover services for Jews at the Walter Reed? Why do they think they can get away with the Catholic, going against the Catholics?
Well, maybe because, as you've noted, Pelosi and Biden and such have been able to get away with it. Now, one reason that they may have been able to get away with it all these years is you have the fairly biased corporate and legacy media that will attempt to validate any claims they make as long as Pelosi and Biden are promoting the right policies.
Mm-hmm. And we've seen the media's position on Catholics over the past couple of weeks after that trans shooter decided to attack a Catholic school. The Catholics were made as the villains in that situation.
Exactly. And the transgender shooter who apparently killed all those people, it has become, or at least the transgender community has been framed as the victims. So one of the reasons that Pelosi and Biden and their lot are able to get away with this is because the left has, at this current time, information dominance. I mean, yes, there are, you know, outlets that on the Salem Network and Fox and OAN who don't march in lockstep with the corporate media, but you still have information dominance by the left. And that's one reason that the Media Research Center, CNSnews.com is a division of Media Research Center. It's one reason that MRC exists to document and expose the liberal slant, the bias in the news, not just by false things that they report or insinuate, but also what they refuse to report on, such as whenever a shooter or a person committing crimes is transgender, for example, Muslim, or in some way a radical leftist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess we're kind of stuck with this media because they spent decades building dominance and then flipping their bias into full-on ramming down your throat mode after, particularly when Trump came about, but they were on the path to doing that anyway. Craig Bannister, appreciate you being on the Silker Joe Show today. And listeners, you can go check them out at CNS News. That is a nice website and nice articles on there. You can read more about this situation with Walter Reed persecuting Catholics. And more Silker Joe Show after this break.
This message is provided by Boehringer Ingelheim. Idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, or IPF, is one of the more common forms of progressive fibrosing interstitial lung diseases, with symptoms including breathlessness during activity, a dry and persistent cough, chest discomfort, fatigue, and weakness. There are more than 200 lung disorders that can lead to pulmonary fibrosis, an irreversible scarring of lungs that can negatively impact lung function, quality of life, and may become life-threatening. While approved treatments for people living with these diseases can help slow disease progression, new therapies are needed to help potentially stop progression. Fortunately, there is new research underway to assess the safety and efficacy of an investigational treatment in patients with IPF and other progressive ILDs. This is part of Boehringer Ingelheim's Phase 3 Global Fibrinear Program. To learn more about Fibrinear and eligibility requirements, visit fibrinear-ipf.longboat.com and fibrinear-ild.longboat.com.
Spring is here. Time to get out of the gym and take your workout outdoors. Whether you're walking, running, swimming, or biking, it's important to have a proper warm-up routine to prevent injuries. Five-time Ironman triathlon world champion Craig Crowe Alexander has some advice.
Sprains, strains, and injuries can happen to any athlete. Even a minor injury can affect your performance and derail your fitness routine. One of the best ways to try and prevent injuries is to make sure you prepare properly.
Alexander recommends always starting with a 10 to 15 minute dynamic warm-up.
Activation exercises combined with some dynamic movements like lunges are great for warming up. Focus on one specific movement at a time until you feel ready to go. Be sure to listen to your body and use proper support gear when needed to protect yourself and prevent injury.
The Curad Performance Series Ironman lineup includes rugged supports, wraps, kinesiology tape, bandages, and analgesics to support you on your fitness journey. For more, go to Curad.com.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
Adopt US Kids for multiple choice parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to, man to man, mano a mano.
Hey, Steve. It's now a good time?
No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. We are joined now by Dr. Mark Sherwood, former Oklahoma gubernatorial candidate, and he spent much of his career in law enforcement and also at the Functional Medical Institute. Dr. Sherwood, always happy to talk with you. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. So you have some ideas on how to make schools safer for students. So would you care to share them with our audience?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're at a place in time right now where we've got to take some aggressive steps towards visible deterrence to stop these cowards from actually accessing these soft targets. So I've come up with a plan that I think makes sense. Obviously, we need to have some controlled access, and that would be with video surveillance. Of course, you know who's coming in, who's going out. You need to have some signs up, too, that would be something along these lines. Be advised, personnel on these grounds may be armed. You know, that's kind of a good thing. And then finally, a third reasonable step would have visible law enforcement presence. And that could be something as simple as parking a car out front of these schools. And these, in my experience, have been, you know, small steps that cause a person to pause before they act. And sometimes that pause can save lives.
Right. These mass shooters, they pick schools because they know they're not going to get any resistance. And their whole goal is to get attention by conducting a mass shooting. So they know the more victims they have, the more attention they'll get. And so they pick targets that will allow them to get as many victims as they can.
That's it. And that's what cowards do. See, they don't like resistance. They don't like to be challenged. They want the soft targets to go in there and hurt as many people as they can. And then many of them, you know, want either suicide by cop or suicide by commission. And so we have got to understand that you can't legislate violence or hatred or a murderous spirit out of mankind. You know, simply saying take the guns away from people is not going to solve the problem because ultimately the first murder was done with the rock, and then the greatest mass murders we've had in our country have been with fertilizer and airplanes.
Mm-hmm. And there's just this idea that I keep seeing that trying to harden the target, trying to add security to the school is if you propose that, you get feedback that you want kids to die, that you don't want to do anything to actually solve the problem. You just want more children to die by proposing these solutions. It doesn't really make any sense, especially when you consider the people giving such feedback. They support politicians who legislate behind armed guards. You know, if armed guards were problematic, why do their leaders have them?
Well, it is ironic, isn't it? You know, and it's even ironic, too, that the people that bash police would call the police if they have a problem. Again, the irrational logic that we just discussed right there is concerning to me that people are actually buying that. The reasonable has must prevail. Violence in society is growing. Mental illness, diagnosis are growing. Use of antidepressants are growing. We're not seeing a negative decline in those things. So therefore, the best way to deal with it is to protect our kids and our future so that we can have a future of children, soon to be adults, that actually have a grasp on some of this stuff and quit just, you know, kind of just taking solutions that we throw out here like I'm proposing and just kind of poo-pooing them and saying those don't work. Well, let's do it and watch it work.
Right. And this whole idea of taking guns away and the idea also that you want more violence if you oppose taking guns away doesn't really hold water, because in countries where guns are taken away, you see upsurge in murders using other weapons or attempted murders using other weapons. London, for example, they took away most guns over there. So then suddenly they started having to ban knives. You're not allowed to carry knives over a certain length now in public. They had to make a law about that because when people didn't have guns, they were killing each other with knives. And then as far ago as 2015, London police were congratulating themselves for this raid where they seized screwdrivers and hammers from people, saying, look, we made the streets safer by seizing these. And again, these are not guns that people are killing each other with. These are everyday household objects, and the police are having to take those because, well, without guns, people are just going to use something else to kill each other. And that idea seems to be lost upon the gun control advocates.
Yeah, two things to consider here, too. You know, even the people that want gun control right now, they're acting so violent, they're actually, in the psychology of man, promoting violence, right? And so, these people that want to get their way, they want to force their way by creating violent acts like this. And I think the other part of it is to your point about over in London, I mean, we are forgetting that hatred and love can be in the heart of all mankind. And we have to get back to the idea of saying, all right, you know, we're all Americans. Let's figure this out. And let's come up with a solution that's going to work to keep all Americans, including the mentally ill people that have hatred, keeping them alive. So it's really about valuing life a little bit more instead of valuing, you know, the agendas that we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can tell you that it's certainly valuing life if you want to protect kids in a school. And just like I said, this idea that banning guns is the one size fits all solution and any other solution means you want kids to die. It's insane. And on top of that, I can tell you from personal experience, because I went to such a school for a brief period, you know, this idea, some of the ideas you had, like one entry to the building, metal detectors, all that, it actually works in certain schools. It worked at the school that I went to for a brief time.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I learned a valuable lesson probably 25 years ago, maybe more than that now, in the country of Israel. I was there doing some work, and I remember seeing an armed guard standing in front of a big fence with razor wire on the top. And I realized quickly that was a school. And I actually went up to the armed guard because I was in law enforcement at the time, and I said, what's going on? Do you have a situation, you know, whatever it was? And he goes, oh, no. No, I'm protecting our future. I'm protecting the future of our country, which is behind me. And I paused. And I didn't think about the profound nature of what that soldier, that was military, it was a soldier, what he said to me. But that's where we are right now. We have to protect the future. And with kids in schools is not about, you know, another subject, another day, indoctrination of anything. It's about teaching them how to become productive and good adults that contribute to society.
I had to say, indoctrination does play a small role in this. I remember some districts and school districts in California, they actually got rid of the police presence at their school because of the whole all cops are racist meme that was going about and that's still going about. And they decided, well, they don't want a police presence at the school because it might upset the minority children. But by getting rid of the police presence, you just made the school target.
You did. And I can tell you in my 2.5 decades in law enforcement that look, racism or a heart of discrimination can be in any of us. It really can if we're just truly honest. We have to work at that. But as far as systemic racism and seeing that in my colleagues and friends that still work there, you don't go to work to kill somebody. You go to work to do your job and go home and hopefully get a paycheck. That's what you do.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dr. Mark Sherwood, sorry. Again, always happy to have you on the program. I was about to ram a couple of words together. And listeners, thank you for tuning in as well, but we still got plenty more show coming up after this break.
The pandemic is just one factor that forced companies to rethink the way they conduct business. In addition to remote employees, companies are uploading more data to the cloud, and workers are using a wide variety of apps and devices. As a result, businesses are more susceptible to security breaches than ever before. For 10 years, the Open Directory platform provider JumpCloud has helped businesses improve security and minimize vulnerability. Security continues to be a top concern for businesses. According to JumpCloud Vice President Eric Brown, organizations need to reconsider their approach.
Identity is the new center of IT and the foundation around which all IT infrastructure should be built. That's where we at JumpCloud come in. We help companies and people make work happen with secure, frictionless access to the apps and data they need with an open directory platform designed for identity transformation.
To learn how Jump Cloud can help your business, visit jumpcloud.com.
Vitamin B12 is important for supporting not only our metabolism, but also our energy levels. Our brain and our nerves need certain vitamins like B12 in order to function properly. Even if you're eating all the healthy foods like fruits and vegetables and getting, you know, great sources of protein, it's sometimes the case that you can become deficient in one or more nutrient, and that's where supplements can be helpful. So if you want to support your B12 levels, Jarrow's methyl B12 is a great supplement to consider to optimize your B12 levels. This type of B12 is recognized by the body, so it's delivered to your cells more efficiently. It's also been shown that it is a great way to make sure that you're getting a highly absorbed form of vitamin B12 and one that's going to be retained better than other types of B12. You can learn more at jarrow.com.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at pva.org.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe here with you today. Now, some points that I wanted to cover on the Alan Nathan Show earlier this week, but I was guest hosting. But alas, I had a very long rant about unequal justice in our system, so I couldn't. You know, just this anti-Christian attitude that corporations and the government have taken up, especially in the wake of the Nashville shooting. You know, if there's a mass shooting, say all the victims are black, as we saw years ago, well, gee whiz, everybody's bending over backwards to try and say that they're an ally of the black community. Yet when there's a mass shooting and it's all Christians, well, it's the Christians' fault. Because how dare they have a belief different than the trans person who shot them. They deserved it. That's what the message has been. And not just from corporate America with its tacit silent approval, but also from the Biden administration itself. Right after the shooting, the White House press secretary came out and said, well, you know, trans people have a right to fight back. So a trans shooter goes on a rampage against Christians. The White House says trans people have a right to fight back. It's no wonder, then, that when swimmer Riley Gaines was almost held hostage and held for ransom by a bunch of trans activists, that the university she was at decided to back the activists and said they had a right to take hostages and demand ransom. Perfectly okay. Because why not? If you're allowed to kill in the name of the trans movement, certainly you're allowed to take hostages. But that's overshadowing some other issues here that we need to get into. For example, Dr. Fauci told a CNN panel that we should be expecting a new pandemic next year. Yes, this is going to turn into one of those headline potluck segments. How does Fauci know that we're going to have a pandemic next year? I'm getting echoes of 2019 here. In October of 2019, Dr. Fauci was talking about how we need an upcoming pandemic in order to rush through vaccines without any testing or approval whatsoever. He told a big panel of agreeable people that was the case. In order to bypass medical testing, in order to bypass making sure something was safe for human consumption, Dr. Fauci said in October of 2019, we need a pandemic. And he got his wish 3 months later. Actually, even as he was speaking, it was probably breaking out in China already. So what does he know that we don't? Now he's saying that we have a pandemic next year. And what a coincidence, too. It's a presidential election next year. Another pandemic, another presidential election, another attempt to steal the election. Because even if you don't buy into the hammer scorecard, go into actually use a computer to alter the vote count that we've discussed on the show before, there's still the little matter of how easy it is to fake mail-in ballots and how very little to no safeguards there are in some places with mail-in ballots, especially with a disinterested staff or a staff of activists. In fact, we've had various organizations come out saying that they are trying to staff vote tabulation centers with left-wing activists so that only the correct votes get counted. Not your vote, just the ones that they think should push the election in favor of the Democrats. So I guess they feel that Biden's position is so tenuous that they need another pandemic to kowtow us. Or maybe, you know, they just want to kowtow us anyway with the pandemic, with another pandemic, because the COVID one didn't work and we're still going about our business as usual. At least most of us are. Democrats aren't. Actually, Democrats went really nuts. So, you know, a year ago, I was talking about the Rasmussen poll that showed Democrats believed, 45% of them believed, that if you're unvaccinated, you should be put in a concentration camp. 60% or so, it was like 58%, believed that if you say something bad about the vaccine, even if it's true, you should be put in prison, or at least given a very hefty fine that poor people like me probably couldn't pay off it, no matter how long they live. That's the Democrat thinking on the pandemic. Doesn't matter if it's true or not, you shouldn't be allowed to say it. That's kind of actually describes their thinking on a lot of issues, doesn't it? Doesn't matter if it's true, you shouldn't be allowed to say it. In fact, the weight of the law should be against you for saying it. And we'll be seeing doubtless more of that with this new pandemic next year. So folks, start stocking up on your toilet paper now, because Dr. Fauci says we're in for it. And here's another headline that actually might make stocking up on toilet paper a moot point. J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon said, quote, we may need to evoke eminent domain, unquote, to seize private property to build wind and solar farms. I wonder how many red districts will be uprooted to power blue cities. Certainly you can't build a wind farm or a solar farm in a major city like New York City. Just not, the geography just doesn't work. You'd have to flatten a whole bunch of buildings in order to do that. And you're not going to build a solar farm or wind farm in one of the suburbs, one of the wealthiest sections of the country. Likewise, you're not going to, speaking of wealthiest sections of the country, you're not going to build a solar farm or a wind farm in the D.C. area, the Northern Virginia, Maryland, D.C. area, which is the wealthiest section of the country with all the contractors and government workers that live there. So where does that leave you for your solar and wind farm? I'll just put it out in the rural districts. Take up some farmland. It's not like people need to eat anyway in this country. Or uproot a bunch of Republican districts, strong Republican districts. and replace them with your wind and solar farm, and I guess force the Republicans to move into the nearby blue district. It's a very devious plot here that they have going on. In the name of saving the environment, we're just going to seize a bunch of property of our political opponents, much as if we were Zelensky or something, because that's what he did. Zelensky did. He had all the property of his political opposition seized. And now the JP Morgan CEO, Jamie Dimon, seems to be advocating that as well. Seize private property, build our wind and solar farms. And as their push for electric vehicles goes through, I'm sure this will go through as well, because in order to make sure these electric vehicles are viable, they will need a lot more electricity production in this country. And to do that, well, they're not going to build new coal plants, that's for sure. They're going to build wind and solar farms. And on whose property are they going to build them? Certainly not a Democrat. That's the easiest answer there. It won't be built on Democrat territory. It is interesting, though, that they're getting rid of all these coal plants because of the use that coal has. I didn't know this until, I think it was yesterday, where I found out that coal plants, they actually produce some kind of ash that is used in making soil more fertile. And it's also used in some form of concrete, too. So with fewer coal plants, that means we have less of this ash, which means we have less ability to make soil more fertile and less ability to produce certain types of concrete. So like getting rid, much like getting rid of petroleum, there's a lot of downsides that Democrats are not thinking of. Petroleum, for example, you get rid of oil, well, you get rid of plastic too. What are you going to use instead of plastic? They kept telling us for years, take the plastic bags instead of the paper bags. So just everything they do is self-contradictory. And then this whole electric car thing, by the way, is quite self-contradictory in of itself, because the cars are not recyclable in any way, and they are so easily totaled. The battery in these electric vehicles, which is, by the way, built by slave labor pretty much. They use the Chinese government uses slave labor, slave children, mind you, in Africa. I thought the Democrats were against African slave trade, but here they are supporting China in its use of African slaves. Child slaves, no less. But anyway, what the mining techniques these slaves use are not very good for the environment. That's in fact why we don't do much of that here. The Democrats said, oh, it would be too polluting. We don't want to do it on our shores, but it's okay if you use black slaves to do it on some other country. No one cares about that. No one who's a Democrat cares about it anyway. And then when the electric batteries do get here, well, they're much more expensive than actually the rest of the car. So, and they're so fragile. If you look at it the wrong way, the darn thing will scratch up and be totally unusable. They are just not very durable. So, and on top of that, they only last 10 years anyway. So every 10 years or even every 10 days, depending on how bad a driver you are, suddenly your battery is damaged. It's got to be replaced. Well, the whole car might as well go at that point. You might as well just buy a new car, especially if the car gets damaged in the incident. And now you have a giant car with a giant battery. None of it is recyclable. And we're going to be seeing this problem as electric cars become more and more popular. That what do we do with these husks, the hulks, the dead hulks, after, especially after 10 years? You know, these cars have a shelf life. I have a gas-powered car right now. It's causing me a lot of trouble, though, because I decided to drive with the radiator broken. But aside from that, this car is 14 years old now. So already my car has lasted 4 years longer than an electric car would. And it's not going to be recycled anytime soon because God knows I don't have the money to change it out. Yet these electric cars they're trying to flip us to, that they can't even be recycled. They're just going to be trashed after 10 years. What are you going to do about it? There's no plan for this. And then this idea of adding a bunch of wind turbines and solar power to help power these electric vehicles, that doesn't really work out much either because, well, wind farms and solar energy farms, they actually do cause certain damage to the environment. You know, I remember reading stories about in Arizona, birds trying to fly over the solar farms, they get fried right up in the air because of the heat being reflected back. And as far as the wind turbines go, there's a problem with them almost making the bald eagle extinct again. Well, putting the bald eagle in danger again, I should say, because the bald eagles tend to fly right into the wind turbines, get chopped up. But it doesn't matter because this is all feel-good measure, virtue signaling. Doesn't really matter at all. that none of it works. None of it even holds up if you think about it for 5 seconds. Just makes them feel good, and they will force it down your throats because this is about them, not you. More Silker Joe Show after this.
Spring is here, and there's no better time to try something new. Take a taste of Coke Zero Sugar and enjoy real Coke taste and zero sugar. Now available at participating Burger King restaurants. Try Coke Zero Sugar with your favorite food from Burger King. Satisfy your hunger and enjoy Coke Zero Sugar with a piping hot breakfast sandwich, like a sausage, egg, and cheese croissant sandwich. Sizzling sausage, fluffy eggs, and melted American cheese on a toasted croissant makes for a delicious breakfast to start your morning right. And don't forget the crispy hash browns. Or if the flame-grilled Whopper sandwich, BK Royal crispy chicken sandwich, or chicken fries are your fave, you are in luck. All Burger King menu items pair perfectly with an ice-cold Coke Zero Sugar. It's the perfect no-sugar sparkling beverage that goes great with everything. Take a taste of Coke Zero Sugar to enjoy spring your way at Burger King, where you rule. At participating U.S. Burger King restaurants. Sponsored by Coca-Cola.
This is sponsored by IBM. Job seekers, students, and career changers want to pursue roles in science, technology, engineering, and math, but aren't familiar with career options. At the same time, online training and digital credentials are emerging as a recognized pathway to opportunity. Misconceptions about the cost of training and what's required are often roadblocks to success. To tackle this and bring STEM education closer to underrepresented communities, IBM Skills Build is announcing 45 new educational partners. IBM Skills Build is a free education program focused on underrepresented communities in tech, helping all develop valuable new skills and access to career opportunities. Justina Nixon St. Till, IBM Chief Impact Officer.
Technology training can have a transformational effect on a person's life. IBM is committed to raising awareness of the many roles that exist across industries in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. IBM Skills Build continues to grow with new partners around the world, working together to skill 30 million people by 2030.
For more, skillsbuild.org.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy, and I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much, from the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between. It really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
My baby brother, a father.
Come on, it's time for his nap.
Whoa, he can't sleep on his stomach. Babies should always sleep on their backs in a safety-approved crib, and the sleep area should be clear of blankets, toys, and other loose or soft items. It reduces the risk of SIDS.
SIDS?
You know, sudden infant death syndrome.
Guess I need to start studying up on safe sleep for little man here. Being his favorite uncle comes with big responsibilities.
For more information, visit safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development. You want to give your baby everything, so start with a safe sleep area. Babies younger than one should always be placed to sleep on their backs on a firm and flat surface, like a safety-approved crib. And keep blankets, pillows, and other soft or loose items out of the crib when the baby is in it. Learn more about safe sleep for babies at safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs, and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste.
but get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. Thank you for sticking with us through this hour. But we have one last guest here, D.A. King. He's president of the Dustin Inman Society. D.A. King, happy to have you on. How are you today?
Thank you very much, sir. I'm glad to be here. I'm fine.
So before we get into the topic, could you tell us a little about the Dustin Inman Society?
I can. The Dustin Inman Society is based in Georgia. It is named after a young man who was a Georgia resident who is forever 16 years old because the United States does not secure our border or enforce our immigration laws. We are focused mostly on making Georgia as inhospitable to illegal immigration as possible. And I always like to make people understand that it's not well known across the country, but there's only six states in the union that have more illegal immigration than does Georgia. We have more illegal aliens here than they have in Arizona.
Wow. And not even a state on any international border, which makes it very odd that they somehow ended up there. But you are facing a challenge right now from the Southern Poverty Law Center, because, and just doing some research for the show, you know, I Google your name and the name of your organization. The first result on Google wasn't your organization. It was the Southern Poverty Law Center spreading some infamies about you. So what are you doing about that?
We didn't take it laying down. Let's put it that way. So I have to make this clear to you and your listeners, and I'm grateful for the opportunity. The Dustin Inman Society is a 501c4 IRS nonprofit corporation that I formed with personal funds and refinanced my home in 2005. We have been fighting the organized crime of illegal immigration since then, and I try to make people understand in simple terms there's really two sides to immigration. There's pro-enforcement and there's anti-enforcement. We are clearly pro-enforcement, and our board is made up of immigrants and Americans of all descriptions. My adopted sister is an immigrant. Now, the Southern Poverty Law Center, worth about $640 million, is very much on the anti-enforcement side. So their angle, their money-making angle and political angle, is to marginalize people who are effective. We have been extremely effective here in Georgia with legislation and getting laws passed and making the issue brilliant in people's minds. So the SPLC in 2018 put us on a hate list. They have told the world that we are an anti-immigrant hate group. Now, again, being an anti-immigrant hate group came as quite a shock to the immigrants on our board and my adopted sister, who is an immigrant. One thing that people need to know about this, because we need some help to fight this huge whale of an organization, is that in 2011, the Southern Poverty Law Center told the Associated Press, after we got a very big bill passed here in Georgia, that we were not a hate group, and carefully explained that because he is, meaning me, because he is fighting illegal immigration through the legislative process, we don't like it, but it's nothing we can quibble with, so he's not on our hate group list. Guess what happened when they decided to put us on the hate group list in 2018? It was within days of them actually registering to be lobbyists here in Georgia to work against more legislation that we were supporting.
Yeah, it was either on this show or when I was guest hosting the Alan Nathan Show. We talked about the Southern Poverty Law Center before and how they've actually got their tentacles into the school system with many schools and teachers adopting curriculum invented by them. But the whole Southern Poverty Law Center, it seems to be like if you're a person in the media or if you're perhaps a Democrat politician and you say, oh, I want to call this group racist, could you guys do it for me, and then I can cite you when I call them, make it seem official. And it really shows how far the Southern Poverty Law Center has fallen, because you see groups on their list, it's like everyone would agree, yes, these are hate groups, but then you see the strong bias against just anything that's against a left-wing agenda, such as your group.
There will not be another chance to get even with or to have any control over the Southern Poverty Law Center again in our lifetimes, because we have gotten to a stage in the court battle where we have survived their motion to dismiss. We filed a complaint asking them to retract what they had said about us. It's defaming. It's hurting me. We're afraid of actual violence. But most people who sue the SPLC for libel don't get past their initial motion to dismiss the case. We have survived that motion. We are now going to court. We are going to what's called the discovery process, in which we will be allowed to ask them for records internally, their phone calls, their emails, and their internal records. Really, the big question is, why did you tell the world, the Associated Press and everybody, that the Dustin Inman Society is not a hate group in 2011? And then when you started lobbying against their work, then you put them on your hate group list, which makes newspapers, media report you as, oh, they're a hate group. We are not a hate group, and we can prove it, and we're not anti-immigrant, and we only have to ask immigrants on our board. I hope people will go to the Dustin Inman Society website and see for themselves, but we hope to get some donation money to fight this behemoth in court. We don't have any. My wife and I have two mortgages on our home from this battle. We need help to fight the Southern Poverty Law Center. It's a worthy and just cause, and I hope folks will help us.
Absolutely. How long has this lawsuit been going on? Has it been like, have they been dragging out the process, asking for motions to extend, trying to win over you by attrition? Because as you mentioned, they have hundreds of millions of dollars at their disposal, so they can just afford to drag this out and hope that you go bankrupt before anything happens.
Well, maybe, but you know, this is in federal court in the Middle District of Alabama, in the Northern Division, and you know, courts have judges, and this judge, who I can't remember his name, but the judge is not buying what they're selling. The Southern Poverty Law Center, in one of their briefs in response to our lawsuit, has said that their hate listings, and I quote, "This does not somehow mean that any of the individual hate group designations themselves are factual." The Southern Poverty Law Center is now telling a federal court that even if they list somebody as a quote-unquote hate group, that it doesn't really mean they are a hate group. So it could go on. It's been going on now for about 2 years, and we're in a place now where we've gotten past this motion to dismiss, and things are going to start happening. But again, they have $640 million. We have two mortgages, and I will come. If people want to help us donate, I'll come to their house and wash their car.
All right, D.A. King, one more time, tell us where we can go and donate, because the show's wrapping up, so people are going to have plenty of time to go check it out.
On the homepage, newdustininmansociety.org. That's N-E-W, dustininmansociety.org. I'm very grateful for the time.
All right. Well, thank you for being here. And listeners, you can go check them out because we are done with you for the day. But while you're out there, mainstreetradionetwork.com is our website. And you can also find us on Gitter, GETJR.com, at Silker Joe Show. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.